Limitations. We're often tempted to see the world through the lens of limitations. Across the world, especially in developing countries, there's a lot of talk of limited resources. And sometimes there's not enough limited resources to go around. Or sometimes in economies, we talk about limited jobs, that there's not enough jobs to go around. So there's a limited number of jobs for people to go around. And especially, as I mentioned, in poor developing countries, when there's sometimes limited resources, that sometimes then people become viewed as simply problems to be fixed, mouths to be fed. And that there starts to be this idea that maybe to fix the problem and to respond to human misery, we just need to limit the amount of people. I have some friends who, or more acquaintances from college who had this philosophy that the world was overpopulated. So while natural disasters are a terrible thing, they would kind of say, well, at least it's helping control the population of the world. And that sometimes, in especially developing countries, the response to human misery is we need to limit human population. So maybe we'll control the amount of children that they can have. Let's promote birth control and abortion, contrary to what the church teaches. But even well-meaning people, in an attempt to compassionately respond to human misery. Once, some people said to Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, who gave her life to serving in Calcutta, serving the poorest of the poor, they noticed that there were so many poor children, and that they would say to Mother Teresa, there's too many children. Mother Teresa's response was, to say there are too many children is like to say there are too many flowers in a field. In other words, in her eyes, each and every one was precious and beautiful and worth loving and serving. So you see, sometimes the problem is even well-meaning people can fall into the temptation, it's subtle, but of a subtle mindset that is that the problem is abundance of human life. That human life becomes a problem, and so if there's too much human life in the world, we need to limit that. Even though we know that the truth is there's plenty of resources to feed everyone in the world, it's just a problem of it being distributed in the proper way. But that we're tempted to see an abundance of human life as a problem rather than life being something to be delighted in. That each life has infinite worth. And the temptation is to see people as problems rather than seeing each individual as someone, as a creative force that can contribute, that can stimulate the economy, that can create growth and create human resources, can create resources to contribute to the feeding of people. So what does this have to do with the gospel? In Jesus' day, in the gospel we hear about the healing miracles of Jesus. But in Jesus' day there were other people who were supposed magicians and magical people and miracle workers in Jesus' day. And the view of those people, at least the common belief of the time, was that some people who had power like that they all had a limited amount of power. That they only had so much power they could use at once. And once they depleted it, then they had to wait to sort of replenish their power. And so people who were kind of fascinated with Jesus, because he seemed to be one of these miracle workers, like these other miracle workers, they're following Jesus along because, oh, he's going to go heal this important person, the daughter of a synagogue official. And yet, as he's going, what happens? But this woman, who's sort of an outcast of society, this poor beggar woman who's been afflicted for 12 years, who spent everything she had and has only been getting worse and worse, who seems incurable and doesn't have much to offer to the world, she comes up and touches Jesus' cloak and takes his power and is healed. And for people's mindset that Jesus' limited power all of a sudden was wasted on this woman. And what happens is then, of course, this little girl who had so much potential, who had so much to live for, and was an important noble in society, because she was the synagogue official's daughter, that Jesus wasted all his power on this outcast woman. And so, of course, then when he goes in and he tells them, oh, she's not died but asleep, besides the fact that she was dead, that they also ridiculed him because they thought, what can Jesus do now? Besides the fact that she's dead, he used up, he wasted his power on this other woman. So which one is more worth saving? But what Jesus reveals to us in the gospel is not only is his power not limited, but even more so that his love is not limited. That for Jesus, it's not a question of either or. Do I help this woman or do I help this little girl? Who would seem more worthy to be saved? Who's the worthy one that I should serve? This innocent little girl or this woman who spent all her money and wasted everything she has? Well, that Jesus' love is not limited. That it's a both and, not an either or. And that's something in our Catholic imagination, our Catholic theology, that many times we talk about the Catholic both and. That very rarely in our theology, in our theological understanding, is it either or. That sometimes people, even some of our Protestant brothers and sisters in other denominations, they really want to draw the line where it's either this or that. But more often than not, in our theology, it's both this and that. That it's the good of the individual and the good of all. So the gospel message that Jesus brings to us is this radical yes to human life. This radical yes to each and every person. That it's not about this person is worth saving as opposed to that person. But each and every person has dignity and worth, and Jesus comes with a radical yes to life, regardless of one's life circumstances, regardless of their life choices, regardless if they're a contributing member of society or not, that each and every person has worth and value and is precious in the eyes of God. This radical yes to life. And this radical yes to each and every human person, this gospel of life, it's not just something in our own personal lives of how we should treat each other, though it certainly is that, of how we treat each other and interact, but then it also radiates out to how we should be creating our society and our culture, how we should be shaping the broader world, that this radiates into everything we do as a society. To move from what Pope St. John Paul II called a culture of death, which is like what I was kind of saying before, that people only have worth insofar as this or that, insofar as they're a contributing member of society. Because that's a mindset that sometimes we fall into, that my worth is only as long as I'm able to contribute something. That I know people, especially in care centers and nursing homes, where they say, Father, I feel worthless because I used to be able to do so much, and I was so productive and was a hard worker, and now I can't do anything. So now I no longer have worth, is the underlying temptation. But of course, the gospel is that our worth is not in us being contributing members of society or not, but it comes from something much, much deeper. It's this radical yes to life to each and every human person. And as this radiates out into the broader society, the church gives us guiding values of how that plays out in the world. That we have something called Catholic social teaching, that especially over the past century, the church has developed this body of teaching and writing all about how the gospel values and this radical yes to life plays out in all facets of society. The dignity of each and every human person. The worth of each and every individual. And also the common good, which is not the good of the many outweighing the needs of some individuals, but it's a both and again. It's the good of all and the good of each and every individual. The dignity of every human person. And that it's the protection and the fostering of the life of the family. the family being the most basic unit of society. So creating a culture that supports this, a society that supports the family and fosters the unity of the family, and creating a culture that joyfully receives every human person and every human life, even whether they were planned for or not. Supporting single mothers in their work to raise their children, that they can have the opportunity to do that. And guarding against policies that may tear families apart to protect the family. So this radical yes of the gospel to human life invites us to not look at the world and life through a lens of limitations, but rather through the radical love of Jesus Christ, the unlimited love of Jesus Christ. And that's not always easy, especially to radically commit to the poor, to those who are outcasts of society, that sometimes we feel like we're very much working with limited resources. But I've heard many inspiring stories talking to nuns who I've met along the way, people who, from the church, who give their lives to serving the poor in their midst. And so many amazing stories that these people, as they give everything in this radical way to serving Christ's poor, to serving the poor, that they have so many miraculous stories of just when they seemed like they were about to be run out of food, someone would randomly come and with a truck of food and saying, I just felt like I was supposed to bring this here today. Or people who, just when they didn't think they had enough money to pay their bills, that this random check would come in the mail, and it would be just the amount that they needed. So even when we feel like we're working with limited resources, God is faithful. That if we give ourselves to his radical yes of loving in an unlimited way, that he will be faithful to our efforts. That God will give himself and inspire others to share in the work and draw others to share in the work. Peter Morin was a co-founder of the Catholic Worker Movement with Dorothy Day, who served the poor, especially in the Great Depression. And Dorothy Day would often write about how Peter Morin had such a profound faith that day in and day out, he didn't care about money. For all he knew, money could grow on trees. Because he said, we trust in the Lord. And that's what the saints did. That the saints didn't worry about money, but that they gave themselves to the Lord and serving the poor, and God provides. So our invitation to not look at the world in limitations, but look at it through the unlimited power and unlimited love of Jesus Christ, that is the power and has the power to transform the world.